This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Well, dude, happy Monday. My man, Austin Williams, a local boy from right here. Horns up for the unicorns. Yeah. That's what I always like to say. How you doing today, brother?
Dude, pretty good, man. Glad to be here.
Hell yeah, man. Appreciate you coming out to this side. So you grew up on the other side of the Middle Tennessee, Nashville area. Good old Robertson County. I love Robco. My girlfriend lives in Cross Plains and spent a lot of time out in your neck of the woods and out over the border into Cheatham and Pleasant View, obviously, where you're from, and then out in Springfield. For those who haven't been out that way, how would you describe?
It's heaven on earth. It's God's country.
The smell when it's tobacco season. I found out this weekend that it is the dark fire tobacco capital of the world. There is more dark fire tobacco coming out of Middle Tennessee than anywhere else.
That's what I grew up doing.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's you either farm or wish you did. You know, it's one of those little towns.
So you guys were farming tobacco?
Yep. That, soybeans and corn, but mostly a lot of tobacco.
Nice. Hell yeah, dude.
That was life growing up. It's a bunch of work.
dude, honestly, but that's why I think it translates into like sports and it translates into like your work ethic of now being in this music grind, because it's being a country singer, being a songwriter, like
it's work.
That's a dream, but damn, is it work?
It's work, brother.
It's work, and especially all the traveling that goes into it once you get to the level that you're at. And you were just out on the road with Larry Fleet, right?
Yeah, man. That was fun. He's a great guy.
Where'd you guys go? Do you remember like some of the
spots? So we started in March with Warren Zeiders, and we started in San Diego, went all the way up the West Coast, hit pretty much every major city in Canada.
Then
went with Larry in April, and we started in...
I got the schedule right here.
So yeah, I don't remember how much you remember it. All right, so we started in Boston.
There you go. All right, one for one.
Philadelphia.
Yep.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yep.
I think we had like 3 off days in Pittsburgh. Then we went to Shipshawana, Indiana.
Wow, you remember the small town. Look at you, bud.
Shipshawana, Indiana. Then we went to somewhere in Michigan.
Yep, Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, and then we went to Buffalo.
Hell yeah.
And then we were supposed to go to Houston and Fort Worth, and they both got canceled.
Oh.
Larry had some vocal cord issues. Yeah.
Bit of my backstory, because you and I are just meeting today. I feel like we've been around each other, like we do, like whether it's at Live Oak or over at Winners or Losers or Red Door, any of the places kind of in town, just in the scene. I spent a lot of time touring myself. Yeah. I was a tour manager and a merch seller for a number of years, and have been through some of those markets. And for you to be doing what you're doing at your age, coming up and getting that experience on the road, bro.
Yeah,
that doesn't just happen.
Yeah, it's God's work, to say the least. But I just, I'm just living it up, soaking up the second, you know.
Yeah. What are you traveling around in?
So we, the Larry Fleet tour and the Warren Zeiders tour, we were in a bus.
You were in a bus?
We bust it.
Bro.
We bust it.
That's a big deal to go out and bus on your early days on tour. Had you been touring before that?
No, that was the first. Well, I had done like weekend warrior stuff. You know, go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, run, come back home. And I did all of that in my Tacoma.
Oh, Taco. I'm Team Taco as well.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a Tacoma guy myself.
Hey, I love it. And then we did that, and we did it in a bus. The team was like, listen, you're going for like 45 days. You're going to have something. And I was like, all right. And he was like, you're going through Canada in the winter months. Like, you got to have something to get you through. And I was like, I'm okay with anything. Like, put me in whatever. And so, yeah, we bust it. It was great.
That's
awesome. Shout out my boy Turtle that was driving the
Turtle,
bus. He's
dude,
great.
Bus drivers. I've had, we had a guy, Daddy Dan was my favorite.
Daddy Dan?
Daddy Dan. We had a bus driver, bro, and he drove trucks his whole life. And then we worked out a deal when I was out with Trey Lewis with this fishing company called Favorite Fishing. And they had this guy, Danny, that was like driving their bus when they go to like fishing shows. And he grew up just driving school buses and big rigs. So for him to be out with us, it was like a dream come true for him.
Yeah.
He was just fun. Then we had a guy named Cookie.
Oh, Cookie.
Cookie. Cookie used to drive for like Motley Crue and Metallica back in the day. So he's got some stories. And then we were with a guy named Bobby Lee.
Oh, Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee said there's the right way, there's the wrong way, and then there's the Bobby Lee way. Oh, bus drivers are catch, man. Tell me about Turtle.
Yeah, dude, Turtle, man.
Tell me about Turtle.
He had a story for everything, and he was great. He honestly was great. He let us shower in his room every night.
Wow.
Turtle was great, bro. Yeah. Turtle, I could have thought of a lot worse people to be on the road with. It was great. He was a great driver. Yeah. All the guys on the team was like, you know, they had toured a bunch and they was like, he's probably one of the better drivers we had. So I was like, hey, on my team.
Yeah, they can avoid the rumble strips and shit, dude. If you can wake up in the next city and feel fresh,
this boy would take a turn, you wouldn't even know it.
That's impressive.
Like, it was talent. And I mean, like, some of the alleyways we navigated out of through, I was like, dude, you know, I would give you a raise, but maybe not.
And just their ability to just go and just drive through the night. They're just built different.
Oh, so dude, it's the worst job in the world.
Yeah.
Like, listen to us have a great time in the bus and they just have to sit there and like, man, you know, they're like the DD at the party.
Yeah.
You know, it just sucks.
Yeah. And then they become part of the crew too.
Yeah. They become like family by the end of it.
Like your uncle or like your, how old was Turtle? Was he an older gentleman? Turtle was
50, I'm going to guess.
Okay. So he's like an uncle.
But he acted 25.
Oh.
You know, like he was definitely
built for the Austin Williams crew.
Oh, he was built for it. Yeah. He was great. Which my crew doesn't party a lot. I'm kind of mellow, but you know, he fit in right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He fit in right.
That's awesome, dude. So how long you been doing this shit for now?
Dude, so I started when I was in high school, kind of just milling around writing songs, started playing some gigs and stuff. I wasn't old enough to get in the bars, you know.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah, I would play the pubs and like the little pizza places and stuff like that around town. And then was going to play college baseball and then decided, you know, I'm going to go waste time and money on a dead end dream and it's going to go nowhere to come back and do music. Cause at that point I decided that's kind of what I wanted to do. And I ended up not doing it. My parents wanted me to go to community college for a couple of years, just trying to, you know, kind of set up a plan B. And Chase Matthew told me, he was like, you know, plan B is just admitting failure. He said, if I had to give any word advice, just jump off into it. He said, you know, it was for me, it was be homeless or make this happen. He said, I had to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, so I talked him into giving me 1 year to make it work. And then at the end of that year, I was done applying for community colleges. I met the kind of the team I got now. And I guess the rest, and then we've been working together a year in February.
And look at where things are.
Yeah, I think we had 4,000 Instagram followers, 10,000 TikTok followers, and like 1,200 monthly listeners.
You got a few more than that now, but I'm looking at it. 147K as we're recording this right now. And Chase Matthews is a great resource, dude. I remember meeting him when I first started doing my songwriter nights, when I first started doing my rounds at Live Oak in 2019. So BC, before COVID, I was hanging out. I remember him going and playing at Cahoots and when it used to be Silverado's and like he's an OG and a testament to being to the talent that is here
for sure.
Tennessee, like right in the backyard. There's always people moving here and it's like we got some talent 100%. Right in the backyard here, just 100%. Growing up in it and growing up being in church and around that thing and he you're was, a man of the Lord and all that.
Yeah, he's a testament to hard work. I'm a firm believer of that. Anybody that ever talks about Chase, I said I'm willing to put up my work ethic with anybody in this town. And I mean, you know, that I'm kind of the most like humble person in the world until we talk about work ethic now, which like, you know, like I put in the work and it's just, it's like a obsession that I had from baseball, was, you know, stepping on the field, not knowing I'm the hardest working person in the room. It's like this phobia but I always say there's one guy that I don't want to outwork that I never will. And that's Chase Matthew. That guy works. I mean, he's a testament to hard work.
Yeah, and the way that he's done it, like the way the different chapters that's gone through his career, and from being a kid with a dream to now making other people's dreams come true and selling out clubs and venues all over the place.
Yeah, he's been a brother to me and kind of gave me. I won't ever forget the first actual show I ever played that wasn't just like some gig. He called me to open up for him. I was like 17. I had no business being there, none at all, and I went up there and just like fully winged it. And it was in our hometown. And so that was like the first time. And he's kind of believed in me ever since.
What venue was that at?
It was like a fair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was a fair. And, it was right after County Line come out and he was doing like a hometown thing.
Yeah.
And, he called me and Chase has believed in me since before anybody.
Yeah.
So it's been a great resource and kind of really best friend, you know.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's great. And that's the thing too, is like growing up being an athlete, it's like doing music's not much different. You're traveling just like you were traveling to games. You're practicing and working on, instead of like doing your training, hitting a bunch of balls or throwing a bunch of pitches, you're sitting there writing songs, you're rehearsing, you're doing all that stuff. And then you have your, like your buddies that I'm sure you were playing travel ball with, or that were on other teams that you were buddies with. And that's guys like Chase. That's guys like Rambaram. That's guys the homies, like the kids that are coming up right now. It's like your class. You know?
For sure. It's definitely like the class. We were talking about that the other day, like me and Chase, kind of Chase's class, you know, and then kind of my class. And, it's cool to see some guys, you know, everybody's wanting everybody to win, but then it's like a competition at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like this cool thing. And I kind of come into it with that competitive edge just as a motivational thing, which music, you know, I feel like it can be competitive if you want it to be competitive, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like find your motivation and run with it, you know?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So country just like me, I've been jamming the fuck out of it, dude. It's just sick. And I looked up the song credits on that song. How the hell did you land that, bro?
Missy Gallimore. that's the only way I know how to explain that one. When it comes to A&R, she ranks probably at the top of it for me, and to have her on the team's been great. And She played the song for me, and she was like, listen, this is a hit. And I was like, maybe. And then the more it grew, I was like, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Stapleton song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Him and Kendall Marvel.
Yeah, which Kendall,
I mean,
beast of a writer, just an absolute legend in town.
It's, it was an honor to get to cut it.
That's freaking awesome, dude.
As my first outside cut, you know.
Yeah, not a bad one for your first outside cut.
For my first outside cut, I was pumped about it.
Yeah, and you talk about having a team. Where's the team? Are you signed right now?
So I've got no label deal.
Okay.
I've got an artist development deal through Missy Gallimore, and then I got management. Me and Chase got the same management, Ignition.
Oh, dude, yeah that's a good team.
They're great.
The Ignition guys. Yeah, it was just one of the guys' birthdays, right?
Yeah, it was Snap.
Snap.
Yeah, it was Snap's
and
birthday.
And he's a local guy as well.
Yeah,
right?
Just turned 29. He cracks me up. He's a character, man. He's hardworking.
Was it the relationship with Chase that kind of led you?
Yeah,
to
I met him that night at the fair, and we kind of knew each other, and then kind of reconnected later on, and I was like, you know, I guess it's just meant to be.
Yeah,
and it was great. One of my favorite moves I've ever made for a business ever.
Yeah.
Was definitely bringing them onto the team.
Yeah, dude. I would say it's worked out pretty freaking well.
It's been great. The transition's been great. It's just been absolutely amazing. I was going to say some things. I was like, I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, dude. That's the hard part too about this music thing. It's always like changing, especially where you're at in your career right now. Like, the rocket's just going up, and it's like, can I talk about this yet?
Exactly, because like I opened my mouth like a couple things, and then it didn't happen. Everybody was looking at me. I was like, now it's like we have like so much in the works for this coming year. We're just like freaking knocking doors down left and right, just out here working, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then have you done like festivals and shit? Yeah, I know you did. Like you said, you did the thing with the local thing in Springfield with
first festival was day before yesterday, Saturday.
Where were you at?
Farmville, North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
With Lorna Lina.
That's Longwood. What is that, Longwood University out there?
I ain't got a clue.
Or something.
I know East Carolina's in Greenville, which is right there at it. But other than that, I don't know. I rolled in. The festival was great. I got to go hang out, eat some festival food. Definitely put on some pounds before
dude,
I came
the
back.
Festival food, it just gets so fucking expensive. Because that's the thing with us. We go to, we're at, I think, 12 festivals this year with Raised Rowdy. We go, we sell our merch, run around the parking lot, send our rowdies, the girls that come sell merch for us. We send them out in the parking lot. They do all kinds of crazy stuff down in, we were just in Auburn, we were in Georgia, and then we got Rock the Country in Rome coming up.
Yeah.
But it's like you're paying $20-something for a corn dog.
Oh, I know. They pay a lot of them corn dogs.
Dude, $20 for a damn corn dog. It's like $60. You get food for like 2-3 people.
Tell me about it.
It's nuts.
Tell me about it.
It's not the small town fair that you grew up going in.
I mean, it's getting there. It's definitely
The prices in those are getting there too?
Oh, it's getting there. It's definitely getting there. Funnel cake is like $15. And I'm like, I don't even like funnel cake that bad. I just wanted the experience. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to ride the Ferris wheel. They charged out, you know, out the ass for a Ferris wheel. And it's just,
really?
Oh, the Ferris wheel is like, I don't know.
That's usually like a couple tickets that you've spent. You spent like $10, $15.
A lot of them tickets these days.
Yeah.
Which Megan Maroney played at the fair last year. So maybe that's, everybody was there. So it was a line and it was expensive to get to the Ferris wheel.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah. Ferris, man.
Yeah, dude. It's small town culture. It's just everything's kind of changing right now.
Oh, it
things
is.
Just everything getting more expensive.
Everything's getting more expensive. And like where I'm at, you know, is kind of, we're halfway between Clarksville and Nashville. So it's kind of like everybody's wanting to come here.
Yeah, because Clarksville's a city people sleep on. Like, there's a lot happening in Clarksville with it growing
100%.
It's more than just an area next to a military base. Like,
yeah, you know, it's growing and it's growing fast. You know, it's college town and, you know, really growing college at the moment. So it's kind of like, it's a boom town and Nashville's a boom town.
Oh, and everything around Nashville. I started out when I moved down here living in Spring Hill.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That's not even, that's
south of Nashville.
That's south. That's Murray County, dude. That's Columbia. That's, I remember going in the DMV to get my license and thinking I was at the casting call for the Jerry Springer show. I saw, is everybody paying their DUIs and their tickets and stuff? You go into that Murray County DMV in Columbia, coming from New York, I saw some stuff I'd never seen before. But even like those areas like Spring Hill and like Laverne and towns that are out of town in the other direction are booming. It's like just a big circle around Nashville just... And it's got to be crazy as a local to see it changing as much as it is. I know you're a young guy, but even in your years.
Especially as like growing up as a kid, Nashville wasn't what Nashville is now. You know, like it wasn't just a bunch of girls on the back of a random tractor pulling a trailer down the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it used to be a lot quieter than it is now, where like locals could go out on Broadway and have a pretty decent time.
Or Second Avenue back in the day.
Yeah, Printer's Alley always here was the place.
Yeah.
A bunch of people. My parents was always Printer's Alley people. But now it's like the only place to get out of the, you know, the heat's Demumbrium.
Yeah.
You know?
And even that's different now. Nikki T got a parking ticket the other day. Parked on Sunday. He can't even park out front of Live Oak in those areas for free anymore.
Which I lucked up being 20. I don't get out there much. Yeah. I don't. I stay out of town. I go, I ride, I go home.
Yeah.
It's kind of my thing. Every now and then I'll pop out the Live Oak. If I know somebody playing and say what's up.
To have your kind of pop and your boom now being post that is a blessing.
Oh,
to be able to play the shows you're able to now, because you rewind this time 4 years ago, we're sitting there watching the news conferences.
I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah. You're part of the generation that is becoming an adult during and post this.
Yeah.
What's that like being at a small town high school? Because small town high school versus a city school are very
different. It was great because I was about to fail. So it was great. COVID was the best thing that ever happened to my academic career. Sophomore year and me didn't get along. So then when they canceled it, they passed everybody.
Ah.
I think I had like a 14 in art.
Wow.
In art.
Which that tells you where the art programs are, because you are literally an artist. You're a creative guy.
They wanted us to draw pictures and I couldn't draw a stick.
Dude, I can't draw anything.
Oh, I couldn't draw a stick figure with a stencil, man. like man.
Dude, I was the reason part of the reason in New York they have with like the certain like programs. I'm an ADHD kid.
Squirrel.
But they used to, my handwriting was so bad, they used to let me use a computer to write essays. And I was using that spell check because my handwriting was so bad that the state, the teacher, all the highest levels were like, we can't read this kid shit. And then I started getting A's and stuff. My handwriting was just so bad. I used to get pulled from classes in like elementary school to work on my speech, which is funny now that I'm like a host and a podcaster.
That's funny.
And to work on my handwriting, bro.
Dang. Like I had pretty good hair. I looked up. I had good hair. Unless I was writing with like a dry erase board.
And
I'm left-handed.
You're lefty.
And I just erase it as I write it.
That's the worst.
I would be sad. I'd leave class sad.
I would write so fucking fast that I'd get all the ink on my hand.
Oh, for sure. I'll be signing things now.
Yeah.
And just erase it as I sign it. I'm like, Sorry, man. I'll sign it somewhere else.
There's
if
an
you
art
want me
to doing that. Luckily, I've never had. I haven't had to sign. When I was out with Trey, I had to help out with like the meet and greets and stuff. And some people are like, can you sign? I'm not thinking I was somebody, but I'm like, all right, I'll sign your forehead. I'll sign this. Yeah. Whatever. But like, yeah, the signature stuff, like, that's not easy.
And I got a terrible signature. Luckily, it's just fast.
But it's just right. It's just right. AW.
Oh, I do.
Is that what you do?
It's a W with a line through it.
Oh,
because like, my logo is like a W with the line through it that makes the A. So I just W line through.
That's smart. Yeah. And that's quick.
Oh, it's so quick.
The speed is a big part of that.
Oh, it's so fast.
You need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, especially with the meet and greets and people are a little fucked up at the shows afterwards. They don't care. Like, you could literally write anything on there.
Oh, and then, you know, that it's like one of those deals. It's so repetitive. Just
yeah. Hey, yeah, W with the line.
Yeah, W with the line.
There you go.
Super simple.
It's a good way. That's a good way to do it. What was that first show going out and like opening for somebody? Like, talk about the Warren tour.
Oh,
what was that like getting out there? Because the Warren fans, that's a wild group. I've only seen him on the festival stages, but when he comes out, it's a spectacle, and those people go fucking bananas.
Dude, it's like I could only describe it like. Like Warren's show is like a scene out of Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they are so there.
Yeah.
Like it is wild to see them there, but they were great. They were amazing.
Yeah.
They're huge social media users because, you know, how like Warren's.
There's your followers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big boom.
Oh, 100%. It was great. It was well worth everything we had to go through to get there. And it was every night. And take him on, he was selling out venues on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like 3,000 cap rooms on a Tuesday.
On the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, like, we sold out, like, Saskatoon or something like that on a Monday.
Absurd.
Like, what?
Yeah.
It was wild. It was wild. Every single... We didn't play a show that wasn't sold out for the entire month. So, yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy to see kind of how... Like how his ticket sales are.
Yeah, and that's a hell of a way to come up and get your reps, because that's where you're at in your career at that point. You're getting reps to when one day it's your name on the marquee or on the top of the marquee, and like you're getting your reps. But to be getting your reps at that level, it's like being a kid, and instead of being in like rookie ball or double A, you're going right to the big leagues.
Yeah, it was fun. It's been fast.
Yeah.
It's been fast.
What do you think? Why do you think that is?
Social media. 100% social. My team and social media. I was fortunate enough to, when I signed up my developmental deal, they kind of paired me with a social media person. And like, so I film videos, you know, once a week.
Do you think you write more or have to do more social media stuff?
I definitely write more because they take care of all the editing and stuff for me.
So you don't have to worry about...
No, so I literally go once a week and now like we're knocking out like 14 videos in like an hour and a half.
Dude.
And we just boom, 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 knock them out. So like I can write and then go do. So it's allowed me to be better. At like I tell everybody I'm a professional songwriter, I'm a professional singer, and I'm a professional performer. And then everything else, I just kind of let the team do there. You know, I let them do their job.
It's what the team is there for.
Exactly.
It's literally what they're there for and why you signed that deal.
Exactly. So
it's for them to give you those opportunities through what they can do. Because they can't write your songs. They can go out and get a big name outside Chris Stapleton cut.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can crank out all these other songs that are streaming well, dude. Your streaming numbers for where you're at and how little time you've been doing this shit. 1.2 million monthly listeners. That's not something that just fucking happens. There are people that would kill for those. Oh, and I know 100%. You're still on the fucking climb up. Tell me about this 90s rap mashup thing.
Oh, man.
Talk about that.
Yeah, man, that was fun. I come up with that when I was like 16 or 17 in my bedroom one night. Yeah. I grew up a big fan of music of all, you know, all genres, everything from 60s country, bluegrass, gospel, to every genre of rap you can think of. And I took my 10 favorite 90s rap songs and like put them into one because I saw a video of Riley Green. And he mixed Wanna Be a Baller, Colt 45, and that She Grew Up in Indiana Town at a Good. Yeah. He mixed those three songs together, and I was like, wait a minute, what if I did like a full song like that?
Yeah.
And so I sit down and I did like the entire song, and I took 10 songs, put them into one, and I played it at my live show for my little gigs at the pizza pubs and stuff like that. I did them for like years. For like, I'd say 2 years of that, I played that song out. And then it was like right after I signed the developmental deal, and they paired me with my social media team. The girl that was working there at the time, that was kind of, you know, helping run everything, and she was like, you know, you got any like ideas or anything for social media? And I played that, and she was like, we're gonna post that, and it did like 6 million views, and kind of kickstarted everything.
Wow.
And I didn't want to put it out though, because at the time I wanted to have a song do well of mine before I put out a cover song.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't want to be like the mashup cover guy. You know, I wanted, yeah. I wanted to have an original song shine before, and then we had the Wanna Be Saved success. And after that, I was like, we were kind of like, yeah, now it's time.
Yeah.
So then we went forward with it, and we had two back to back, you know, Billboard chart songs, and it was kind of like, now it's time to follow it up.
Yeah, you dude. Know? I'd say you're doing that, man. Like, I was listening to your stuff when I was at the Planet Fitness in Portland, Tennessee yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to him. Like, I gotta check out more into this Austin guy. From having him come on. I love that you've got the Daytona hat on in the picture too.
Yeah.
You're a big NASCAR guy.
Man, grew up around it. You know,
it's different now than
I
it
like
was.
The last 10 laps of the race.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, my granddad raced, my uncle raced, and then my great grandparents, every time you would go, the race was on the TV.
Is that like the Highland Rim?
Yeah, I grew up at Highland Rim.
Bro.
Yeah.
Talk about an experience. Yeah. The Highland Rim, bro.
Just a fight every other night. I mean, just like, you hit my car, and then, you know, there they go.
Smoking cigs. It's like if you don't have a pack of cigs and a cooler of beer, then you shouldn't be going there.
Cowboy killers, Miller Lite, and fights. That's Highland Rim.
That's Highland Rim race. Yeah. Highland Rim Speedway, dude.
Yeah, I grew
that's
up.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's where I grew up in that place.
Yeah. Tell me about Bury My Bones.
Yeah, man.
That was one that stood out when I was on the treadmill yesterday.
Okay, so that song, I posted it when I was like in high school. There's a video of me like sitting in the woods. I had no clue what I was doing. I was literally propped my phone up on a rock and played this song.
Yeah.
And it was like a year later, I start getting like all these followers on Instagram. And I just start, I'm like, where's this coming from? And then I just went back through my reels, and like that sounded like blew up. And like all of these different people were using it. And like, so it was like a weird, like, out of nowhere thing. So we was like, let's just go capitalize off of it the best we can. Went in the studio, just me and my guitar, played it once, we put it out.
Hell yeah.
And it did well. And but yeah, how it went viral on Instagram, I don't know. It was just like, I have zero clue.
Yeah, the algorithm's weird, dude.
Yeah, it had been up for a year.
And then it just cycles back around.
Yeah,
it
was like out of nowhere, I started getting like a lot of Instagram followers. And I'm like, where did it come from? And then it was that Bury My Bones video.
Which is just nuts, dude.
Have no clue.
That's just nuts. Are you nervous about all the TikTok shit going on right now? As being a social media guy? Or I think you've got enough to where you shouldn't be worried about it.
It's kind of like, you know, when one door closes, another one will open. You know, when Vine shut down, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there's some entrepreneur somewhere in the United States is looking at this as an opportunity to recreate something.
But you were just talking about like Instagram reels, like the short form content is already out there, whether it's Instagram or Facebook reels or the fucking YouTube shorts or any of that stuff. Like, I feel like there's opportunities to pivot, but there are some people freaking out right now.
Yeah,
about it going away.
I mean, you know, there was a whole music industry before social media.
Yeah.
And there's still going to be a music industry, you know, if it all went away. So it's kind of, and I got to grow up seeing the old way. You know, because growing up here, I got to see what it was like before social media was a thing and like how to go about it, you know, before it was a thing. So it's like, I kind of got a little knowledge on how it works. My mom's godfather owned a label in town for forever.
Oh, no shit.
And
that's cool.
So he signed like Gene Watson and Farron Young and Ray Price.
Way
and
old
a lot
school.
Of, yeah.
Way old school.
So like I got to grow up and see like how the old school way worked. So it's like social media never really scared me because, you know, go be a writer, go write a hit. Go make a name for yourself as a writer, then be an artist.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
tour.
And I think that's what you're doing. I think what social media allows for is for people outside of town. Because there's this is a thing that Nikki and myself navigate with Raised Rowdy. It's like we're very entrenched in the scene here in town. And you get to see stuff pop before it makes it out. And some stuff pops in town and then doesn't make it out of town. But it's like you can be big in Nashville, but if you're not able to sell tickets and you
100%.
Don't have fans out there, you're only going to be midtown famous.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, it's so important. I think social media allows
for 100%.
Someone in fucking Saskatoon to look up who is Austin Williams.
Oh, for sure. We broke down in Saskatoon, and then, you know, there was some guy that fixed our bus that was a big fan of my music, you know, and that's 100% social media. And so I think, you know, if TikTok went away, that'd be something tomorrow that opened up, you know, a U.S. company that would definitely be like the same thing but different.
And it'll be better because it's a U.S. company, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, I think definitely, you know, there's just so many smart people here that, and, you know, there's so many people looking for an opportunity, you know, that's like, oh, this is the opportunity. Yeah. If I could create the next, I could be the next Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think a lot of people's looking at it as an opportunity. So it's like, yeah, it's going to suck. And, like, obviously, I've had some, like, dang, if this goes away, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, but you got 140-something on Insta, on the other
platform. Yeah, like, I'm going to make up for it there. Yeah.
You're not just a TikTok guy now, being able to go out there and do shows and, like, having that. You've already got your blueprint laid out. How many turkeys have you killed so far this year?
I'm done. I killed two in 2 days and finished
up. Oh,
it was
a quick season.
It was a quick season.
Quick season.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone out of state to?
I've never turkey hunted out of the state of Tennessee.
Because I have buddies that do that.
Like Gary
Stanton from Muscadine. I think he's got 20-something states down that he's done. He's trying to get all whatever number it is where they're – I think they have them every – I think all 50 states might have them, or it's like 48 or
no
something
clue.
Like that. But he's trying to get like his grand slam or whatever it's called. And he's got – you go into his office and he's just got all these fucking birds hung up with all the different states of where they're at and stuff. I've never been hunting. I've never – killed anything, and I've had so many people tell me that they're gonna be the one. I own a Mossberg, and like I know how to use a shotgun, but I've never been out hunting in the turkey woods or for deer, even like squirrels and stuff.
Yeah,
like, growing up in small town, you guys are able to hunt all kinds of shit.
Done it all since I was a kid.
All kinds of stuff. What's your favorite season?
Oh man, they all have their own perks. Duck hunting is so fun to me. I'm a big duck hunting guy. It's like your eight best friends in a blind just bullshitting, you know, and it's, there's a song that a guy put out and it's called 60 Days. And it's pretty much like you can make a lifetime of memory in just 60 days of a season. And it's like, so true. Like I have so many duck hunt stories. I could sit and take up 4 hours worth of time just talking about it, you know? So that would probably be my favorite. I love turkey hunting because it's just so strategic. And there's something about
that's what I've heard because you got to get the tom to come out. You got to get the hen to draw the tom out.
And it's like different seasons, like different part of the season, you know, that they're wanting to do different things. And it's like it's this whole strategy game. And I love it. And then, you know, deer hunting is like there's this feeling that goes with like after you put in so much work for a big deer and then you kill a big deer, it's like shaking. Like, have you ever seen the video of Luke Bryan after it? Like that's so like it's exactly how it is, you know. So they all have their upsides, but I think my biggest thing about hunting is just this, like, just the peacefulness, you know, just you and, you know, the outdoors.
Yeah,
you know, I ain't have to worry about nobody, you know.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about turn my phone off. I ain't gotta worry about nobody calling me, and it's just like this release, you know. That's kind of my thing.
So for Yankee Doodle Dandy like myself, Where's the first play? Where should I start? Should I wait until the fall when it's deer? Should I try to jump on one of these turkey invites?
If you had a turkey invite, I would take my turkey invite.
They've told me they have the gun for me. They told me I just got to go and get the little paper that says I'm legally allowed to do it.
Yeah.
But that they have everything that I need. Oh,
I would hop on it. That and a duck hunt. I'd get somebody to take you on a duck hunt. You don't have to know how to hunt to go on a duck hunt. Just don't shoot nobody.
just aim up.
Yeah, just don't shoot nobody. As long as you don't shoot nobody, you don't have to know how to hunt. Because you really just sit and just like hang out. And then when you see the ducks, you kind of get quiet for a second, whatever. And then after you shoot, you go back to hanging out.
That sounds like my vibe. Just pop us in and just
fucking... Oh, yeah. You go places like Real Foot Lake, you know, out towards Memphis. Oh, they got blinds with like, we cook breakfast in the blinds, like, cooking breakfast. There's TVs in the back of the blinds. It's like a hangout sesh with the boys, and just like,
and then someone just says when the ducks are flying,
yeah,
and then
it's great,
you just pull up, shoot,
yeah, it's great.
And at the end of the day you go and see what's out there,
yeah, it's great. Like, it's the best. Like, duck hunting is the best time ever.
Have you done like any of like the squirrel or like the coyote or like any of the other?
Yeah, I grew up squirrel and rabbit hunting. I was always a big rabbit hunting. And then raccoons.
Raccoons, that the state animal of Tennessee. That is the mascot of Raised Rowdy, as you can see.
Okay.
Got the trash pandas over there. So getting a trash panda would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you run them with dogs. I was, my dad was like a like won like the national championship at it one year.
Oh, they have a national championship.
Yeah, and they got like a world. Yeah, it's like a big deal. And
really,
my dad was really good at it, so I grew up. It's what I grew up doing.
That's got to be a rush because that's at night, obviously.
Yeah, it's just the most peaceful thing. You turn the dogs loose, and you just sit there. Most of the time, you just sit there and drink beer.
So do you even shoot the raccoon?
Yeah, and then like the dog, you'll hear the dog bark, and you just hear him through the woods just barking.
And then you got to go find him.
And you go find the dog, and then you shine a light up in the tree, you know, shoot the raccoon, and then you let the dogs go again.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's got to be a benefit and got to be cool. Like so many of us travel to have to move here from far away for 100%. You to still be able to have your hometown and still be able to live in your 100%. In your hometown, but
it's a blessing.
Only have to deal with I-24 traffic.
Oh, yeah, and then run right into 65.
Yeah,
it's not that part sucks, but it's a blessing. I honestly tell everybody if I had to move to come here, I probably would have never came. Honestly, I don't think I could ever left home.
What is it about home?
Man, there's just that feeling. I feel like you could probably vouch for that. There's a feeling when you go home that you just don't feel anywhere else.
Yeah.
To describe it, I couldn't. There's just a feeling of I'm at home. Like I know where every road goes. I know exactly where every back road, I know where every little spot is, you know, it's just like, it's home and it's like embedded in me and it's made me who I am. And it's like, every time I go back there, it's like, I remember that. And so like, I don't think I could ever have just left home, you know, and moved away.
How long has your family been here?
So my dad's side of the family. So my grandma, her entire family is born and raised in Cheatham County, like from like way back. Every bit of them. And then my grandfather's side of the family, they grew up in West Tennessee.
Okay.
They were originally from Texas and then came to West Tennessee and then made their way here.
Nice.
And then my mom's side of the family's all from Hendersonville.
Nice. I love Hendersonville too. There's so many spots, and that's something that I've looked at. I give a lot of the credit to my girlfriend, Erin, because she was living in Greenbrier. It was technically White House, but Greenbrier, like that area, exit 98,
mm-hmm.
and then moved to the Gulch for a little bit, and then moved back up to Cross Plains. And it's like, I've gotten to experience like Goodlettsville, Hendersonville, fucking Springfield, gone and had lunch at the Depot, gone to all those great. And there's something about, like, everybody talks about the city of Nashville, but I think the real gems are the towns outside of it. It's just east of here, Mount Juliet. Mm-hmm. It's Lebanon. It's all those spots are what the real essence of Middle Tennessee is.
100%. I think one of the biggest blessings about Nashville is you can be 30 minutes out of town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, like Jolton is just out of town and you feel like you're...
Oh, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. You're
in the middle of nowhere. You know?
Yeah, dude.
And it's like you could be like in the middle of nowhere, but in the middle of everything at the same time. And that's what I love about here. You know, I couldn't have asked to grow up anywhere different. You know, I grow up in this little town where there's nothing really going on. You know, every restaurant's closed after 9 o'clock other than the Wendy's, and it's got a, you know.
Oh, and that line.
Oh, that it's line. The only thing open.
That's like the cookout line in Midtown.
Oh, yeah.
It's always absurd.
And Springfield's got a Waffle House. And I've been at that Waffle House plenty of times at like 2 o'clock in the morning and there's not a seat.
Yeah. That's why I want to bring the concept like back home. We're spoiled with diners in New York.
Okay.
Like the North.
Yeah.
Next time you're up in the Northeast, go to a diner.
Okay.
Late night diner. The menu is like the size of the Bible. It's like a thick menu.
Okay.
You can get anything at any time of the day. It's not just this front and back like you have a Waffle House.
Are there biscuits and gravy on it?
No. There's not biscuits and gravy. And if you want sweet tea, they'll give you a sugar packet with your coffee, and you gotta make your own sweet tea kind of thing. But you can get anything like those Greek delis back. That's what I missed most about coming down here was the late night food options
for sure
that we have in New York,
because
it's a city that never sleeps
for sure. Yeah,
you know, and even the small towns up there, everything just stays open
because
it's like a late night diner that's like massive menu.
Yeah,
you could get ribs at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. Like you can get you want at any time. I do mess with some Waffle House though. I like some Waffle House.
Waffle House is great.
I do mess with some Waffle House.
I have a hard time living without sweet tea. I literally drink it with every meal.
Yeah,
Like I had a glass on the, like, I literally wake up in the morning, watch the sunrise, and drink a glass of sweet tea, and then I go get breakfast and I get another one. Like, I drink.
What do you
get?
Are you a Hardee's biscuit guy? Is that your
breakfast? I do like a Hardee's biscuit.
What was your breakfast today?
Today I had a gas station biscuit.
Okay, so not quite a Hardee's biscuit. Yeah, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I was running late. I had a gas station biscuit. You know, well, that was kind of growing up, you know, working in a tobacco field or anywhere. Stop, you get a gas station biscuit, you go on.
Yeah.
So, definitely the gas station biscuit's a staple in my hometown. There's this little place called 49 Market. You stop in
49
there.
Market. 49 Market. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. They got, if you like pimento cheese, they got the best.
All right.
They got the best pimento cheese in all the game. Great.
Best, some of the best spots. Shout out Springfield real quick. Some of your favorite spots. I know we talked about the Depot.
The Depot, Torino's is the spot. Baldwin's Barbecue.
Baldwin's Barbecue.
And then,
I have to check that out. What's the Asian place over there? I go there with my girlfriend all the time. I Ichiban? Fucking know. Ichiban. Ichiban.
I eat Ichiban like 3 nights a week.
Dude, it's so good. The fuck, what is it? Is it the yum yum sauce or whatever they give you, perfect. Dude? It's so good. Dude. I did not know I'd find some of my favorite Asian food in fucking Springfield, Tennessee, in that big shopping center.
Hey, that's, I live there. Hey, every date. Let's go to Ichiban.
Yeah, dude, that's where me and my girlfriend go. We go to Ichiban all the time.
You never know who you're going to see me with at the Ichiban.
Never know.
Never know who you're going to catch me out with at the Ichiban. I'm there like 3 nights a week, though. I literally live there.
Yeah.
There's a little, you go in and you go to the left and there's a little back left booth.
And
no one can see you unless you come all the way to the back.
That's the perfect spot. It's you want to be in a small town.
Yep. You pop right back there to the little back booth right there. No one knows you're there.
That's a great place to be. Yep. I gotta remember that for whatever.
And then and then there's a little spot in Pleasant View called El Dorado, a little Mexican restaurant.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I might eat there every other night that I'm not at Ichiban. Like I don't like it's yeah.
Do you
it's
mix
bad.
Up what you get at the Mexican restaurant, or do you get the same thing every time?
Number one, cheese sauce, no enchilada sauce, soft shell taco, no lettuce. Give me the beef. That's the order every time. I don't even have to order now. I just walk in there and say, hey, give me the regular.
That's like my regular over here. We have in Hermitage, we have Cinco, and we have Las Palmas. Yeah. I always get the chicken, cheese, and rice.
Okay. Chicken, the white girl special.
Oh, yeah, exactly. White girl special. White girl special. Yeah. So what's it like? You're talking about you never know who you're going to see there, who you're going to see with you at the Ichiban. What's the dating life like?
You know,
what's it like being a guy out in these streets or out in these farms, out in these fields?
We have friends. You know, we have friends. I stay out of Nashville. I don't talk to any girls from Nashville. You talk to one and everybody knows who you're talking to.
Yeah.
I don't talk to really anybody from Nashville. I kind of stay with the same people I've stayed with since school, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of nice to not have that be a focus or a distraction.
For sure.
Because the dating life in Nashville is a pain in the ass. I lucked out. My girlfriend's 36.
Oh, it's great.
Benny was married before, has a little 5-year-old girl.
She knows how it works. She knows the reins.
And she's a Middle Tennessean, not a Nashvilleian. She's Robertson County.
Yeah.
Not in the shit. You know?
Oh yeah. And that was kind of, I try to stay home. I am not driving to Nashville to hang out with you, baby girl. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, but can baby girl drive up to Robertson?
But she's going to ask me to come to Nashville at some point.
Yeah, and you're like, I stay out of
Nashville as much as I can. I mean, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I want to be in bed by 9 o'clock. I want to go to bed. I want to wake up at like 6, start my day.
You really are a farmer.
I go to
you
bed.
Really are. Really are a farmer.
I'm a 9 to 6 sleep schedule.
Wow. It's 9 hours a night.
Oh, and it's perfect.
So how do you balance that when you're on the road?
Oh, there's no balance. It's just, it changes.
Because I was going to say, on the road, 9 to 6
what now,
sometimes
I mean, like,
as
soon as I get back on the bus, it's like, there's no party on the bus. Like, I told the boys, I was like, we're having a dry bus. Oh. And they're like, a dry bus? And I was like, yeah, boys, we're not partying on the bus. I'm going to bed.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like,
good for you. It takes a lot to do that.
Yeah, I play my show. I do my meet and greet after the set. Or after the headliner set, I get back on the bus, I go to bed.
What's on the Austin Williams rider?
Reese's and Sprite.
Reese's and Sprite.
That's the
now
main
what,
two.
Now what Reese's are we talking about here?
Man, if we can
like
get the big cups, you know, like the real thick big cups, I'm there. If we could get the Easter eggs year round. Oh. I would be there. They're just different.
Do you eat them cold? I like to put the Reese's in the freezer.
You know, like I like the Reese's in the freezer, but honestly, just give them to me. Like, just give them to me. But we Reese's, and then the TM would get some coffee and some healthy granola bars, and I'm like, man, if it's healthy, I'm probably not eating it.
Yeah.
I've got the worst diet in the world.
What are the staples? I know. So with Mexico, El Dorado,
Mexican, Japanese, and then it's really
gas station biscuits.
Gas station biscuit, Waffle House.
Waffle House, yeah.
It's Subway.
You're eating like a champion.
That's about it. I mean, really. I mean, I probably, like I said, I eat Ichiban 3 nights a week. I honestly, like, this is real number. I eat Mexican, I know, 3 nights a week.
Yeah. I feel like every Southerner does.
Yeah.
Like, which blew my mind when I moved down here. I was like, what's up with all these fucking Mexican restaurants? But I'm like, all right, we are closer to the border, so it makes sense. And then, yeah. And then I lived in Antioch for a little bit. I'm like, oh, I get
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. You definitely
get
it living in Antioch. Yeah. Yeah, you get
it. I get it now.
But yeah, I just like, it's like 3 nights a week. And then I know I probably eat you by like one. And then, you know, the late night, like, it's way past my bedtime and I'm still out. I'm going either to Cookout or Waffle House.
Yeah, just because you don't got Uber Eats out there, do you?
No, and even if we did, I don't have Uber Eats.
No?
No, I've never.
You might be the only 20-year-old in America without Uber Eats.
I'm just like, let's go get it. I'm just like, let's go get
There's
it.
There's something about the drive.
Yeah.
What are you driving? You a truck guy?
Yeah, I've got a 2016
Tacoma.
I got a 2016 Tacoma. I had a 07 GMC Sierra. It was big jacked up, you know. OG
not
Pred,
good for gas mileage.
Well,
bro.
not good for driving downtown.
A lot of things, yeah.
You know, and so I was just like, I gotta get something different, and so I bought the little Tacoma. Love it.
Yeah, I love the taco.
I love it.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's great. It's great on gas mileage. The resale value is great. Everything, it checks all the boxes.
Has Chase tried to get you back into being in a big lifted thing? Because I know Chase is big into his cars. And his
he really hasn't. He really. We never really talked about it.
One of the first things I knew about him. He was like, man, look at this car. Look at
he's into it.
Look at this truck I just picked up. I'm going to swap out this.
Oh, like, and it's never like he buys a nice truck. He just buys the cheap one that he can fix.
Yeah, and I'm like, bro, I have no idea what any of this means.
Yeah,
like,
which Chase loves to work on vehicles.
Yeah, like that's got to be what he's doing when he's not writing and performing.
100%. Definitely just breaking something just so he can fix it. Like,
yeah.
But I've contemplated a lot, you know, getting into a big truck because there's something about, you know, my Tacoma wouldn't move out of the way of itself. There's something about being something just with some power and, you know, sitting up high. But at the same time, I don't really need that.
Yeah. What's something if you could, I guess we can rewind to like, I guess a few years ago. So like you're meeting Chase, you're starting to play, you're playing at the Mexican places, the barbecue joints, the pizza shops, all that. What's something you would tell yourself from back then? Like if you talking like 3 years ago, or I guess even like COVID, like you're flunking art class. You're like, do I want to do baseball? Do I want to do music? Oh, thank God they're passing everybody.
Yeah.
And now fast forward to where you are. You're in a fucking tour bus with millions of people listening to your music and doing the damn thing.
Probably. Trying to think of one thing I would tell myself.
I know it's a load. Or if it's multiple things,
that's
fine too.
I'm trying to think of something I would tell myself. Probably learn how to do it, not pawn it off on everybody else. I was always the guy that, you know, just let everybody else do my work for me, you know. But and let everybody do their job, but know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because then you're, you know, somebody messes something up and now you have to learn how to do it and how to fix it at the same time.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be like my one thing. If like, don't just like, let people do their job, but also know how to do it. Like, don't just say, oh, I'm never going to need to know that. Cause you're going to need to know that.
Yeah. That's you part know? Of being a business owner.
And it took me getting my just ass burnt before I realized like that, hey, I need to know how to do things.
Yeah.
You know, it took me like, or it took somebody messing something up or something like that, and then me having to figure out how to fix that problem, you know? And so, yeah, that would be the one thing I told myself definitely is, like, learn how to do it. Not necessarily have to do it, but know how to do it. If all things failed, you can always do it.
Makes sense. That's good words right there.
I learned that definitely on the road.
Yeah, the road will do that to you.
Yeah, you know, like you just want everybody to do everything, and then somebody else, like, or they can't do it, or, you know, they're occupied and can't do it, and I'm like, how do I do this? this. Like, I've done learn how to put together a drum set. We're learning it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be definitely like, don't just expect somebody else to do your job for you. Like, learn, and even if it's their job, learn how to do it. So if you ever have to do it, you know how. Absolutely. You can be self-dependent.
Good words. I know you came up playing baseball. What's your baseball team?
I'm a Cubs fan.
You're a Cubs fan. All right.
I'm a Cubs fan.
Pete Crow Armstrong, is he legit?
Yeah. Should be good.
I think he's the future.
Maybe. Hopefully he's better than anything else Cubs touch. But I grew up a Cubs and a Braves guy.
Okay.
Cubs and a Braves guy. Just for the sole fact, I grew up around my great grandparents, and
I did too, dude. There's something special about having that. Yes. Having great grandparents and hearing those stories and getting those, great. Listening to a baseball game on the radio.
Yes.
They don't want to watch it on TV.
And both of them, like one of them, when the Braves come on, he never missed a Braves game. Like, I don't know if he ever, like, he watched every single game of the year.
Yeah.
And then my other one was a Cubs fan. So I kind of grew up.
And a Cubs fan builds character because
they
obviously ended the curse years ago.
But then we're right back in it.
Yeah.
we're right back in it.
Yeah. I remember my dad was actually he's in town right now for a conference, and we were having cigars the other night and hanging out, and he was telling a story to some of my friends about, I got to go to the first interleague series that the Yankees did at Wrigley Field. This was 2003, so I was 8. And just how nice the people were in Chicago, and like the Midwest, and like all of that. And the game ended with some rookie for the Yankees got put on the pinch run for like one of the steroid guys, I think Giambi. And he got picked off, and that was the end of the game. And then we never saw him again. But he's like, going to Wrigley Field is just,
it's a thing.
Makes me miss old Yankee Stadium because the new stadium just isn't right. It's like playing baseball in a shopping mall. I just don't like it.
Is it not good?
I mean, it's a cool stadium, but like when you have like the Yankee Stadium, but it was fucking falling apart. You're using the bathroom and it's like horse troughs on the floor. Like it's old.
It needed some work, but maybe let's just do a remodel and not.
Well, they had already done, I think, 2 remodels on it over the years, but yeah, there's something about that. So I guess go Cubbies, and I'll say go Braves. I got a lot of friends that are Braves fans, but my Yankees are my. I'm ready to get this guy back. I'm ready to get Garrett Cole back. For the Yanks this year, but
I'm not a Garrett Cole guy.
No,
I'm a Bauer guy.
Oh, so you're and waiting you either, for him to sign somewhere?
You either pick one of the two.
Were you a pitcher? Is that why you're?
No, somebody? I was an outfielder.
Or an outfielder,
but I don't know. I just love the videos. I just love how he's just
the personality.
Oh, the personality.
It's like professional wrestling and baseball.
Yeah,
it's attitude.
Great. He does everything you're not supposed to do.
Yeah,
it's like.
And he's still out there right now. There hasn't been a team that signed him yet.
No, he was playing overseas, and then his overseas team played in the spring training, come over and played some teams, and he
Yankees.
Absolutely just,
us.
Yeah. So
hopefully he gets a shot. Be cool if he was on the Cubs.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I just hope he keeps making YouTube videos. Love watching it. love watching it. Yeah.
Well, dude, we love watching what you're doing.
Thank you,
and love seeing all that you got. So you got the new songs out right now. What else do we got to look forward to?
Man, we're putting out new songs like every 6 months.
Sweet.
Or every 6 months. I totally lied. Every 6 weeks.
Every 6 weeks. I was going to say. You seem like a guy who wouldn't be able to sit still for 6 months waiting for the next
6
song.
6 weeks. Between 4 to 6 weeks, putting out new songs. We got like 2 projects this year. I think we're going to put out a gospel project.
Oh, dude. That's so cool.
Yeah, they told me they wanted to do a Christmas project, and I was like, maybe not.
Let's meet in the middle. Let's do gospel.
Yeah, let's just do gospel, because I love gospel music.
Yeah.
And so going to do that. We're hitting the road hard, playing festivals everywhere. Got a big tour opportunity in November.
Okay. We'll be on the lookout for
that. That's gonna
we won't let you say too
that's
much.
That's going to be sick.
Awesome, dude.
Getting to hit the road. We're looking at maybe doing some headline stuff in the fall, and
I've actually got your calendar right here. So, you get to do CMA Fest this year. That's
a
big
CMA
thing for Middle
Fest
Tennessee guys.
We're playing, Skydeck tonight.
Yeah, Whiskey Jam.
Yeah, fucking Whiskey Jam,
awesome.
Skydeck tonight.
Yeah,
it's gonna
be cool.
It's gonna be crazy
with Chase.
Yeah, with Chase,
which is a really cool full circle. Oh yeah, and then you get to make your return out. You get to go out to Fort Worth. I guess that might be the reschedule of that or something with. Fort Worth. Oh, you're doing Faster Horses, bro. Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be a really cool one. Oh, and then Dirty Boots, Augusta, I've been through there. Broadway, so those are funny little rowdy.
Are they?
Little rowdy kind of shit. Old bars, you'll feel right at home. Those are fun. Oh, and then West Coast and Milwaukee and Washington. That's awesome, dude. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having
and,
me,
And, yeah, we'll get you in a Raised Rowdy hat to take with you. And we appreciate you taking the trip out here to the east side of town to hang out, dude. Where can people go to follow you if they're not already?
Austin Williams_music, TikTok, Instagram, all the little things. Just look me up, Austin Williams, on all your streaming platforms. You can find me anywhere you want. Yeah.
Awesome, dude. Well, guys, our boy Austin Williams, I'll be sure to check him out. We got the new music out right now. We're going to pull it right back up just so I don't fuck it up. We have got Country Just Like Me, Can't Right Now, out on all the streaming platforms, and new music coming pretty much every 6 weeks, not 6 months, every 6 weeks, and a lot of cool stuff in store. And you'll definitely want to get out to see a show. So thank you guys as always for watching and listening to Outside the Round. Y'all be sure to check out RaisedRowdy.com for more on us, and be sure to rate, subscribe, and tell your mama and them. For my man Austin Williams, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two-trick pony. But maybe the drinking and the lack of money for sure.